Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, good morning, good day, good afternoon, good evening to you all. Welcome to the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values than love easily devolve into the morass, the rabbit hole of BS, which can be something you might think it is, or just simply bait and switch. We are alive to love, ladies and gentlemen, and when we give our life to love, then love becomes a grand purpose that is more important to us than trying to BS people, trying to shame or manipulate people toward what we think. We give ourselves to love, which is the ultimate respect for humanity. So welcome. This is what I do here twice a week from WPCA Recording Studios, and I'm so honored that you would give me half an hour of your life to let me unpack the pilgrimage, the journey, the marathon, the run of life, the race of life toward love. We do a few things here routinely to keep us on track, to keep us, you know, to keep this railroad car on the tracks. And one of the things we do routinely here is we confess and say out loud Love's Creed, something I wrote about 10 years ago, and it was for my own purposes. Actually, it began about 10 years ago as a New Year's resolution for me. I decided I need to keep my focus on this subject of love. Something about love for me began about 10 years ago to be all-consuming. So I wrote this creed for myself, and then I refined it a few times, and I've come down to this. And I want to ask you to just listen to it carefully, all right? I'll just give it to you in total in a moment or two. Then I'll go back, and as I would with a bride and groom at a marriage altar, I'll repeat it for you, and then I'll ask you to recite it for me back, okay? Just as vows would be done at a wedding altar. But here it is in total. Love's Creed. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now, let me go back and I'll repeat phrases of it. And I'll ask you to repeat after me, if you will. Why is that important? I think it's because when we hear ourselves say something of this nature, like in church when we do the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed, when we hear our own voice in our ears saying out loud, I believe this, we are more likely to have something written in our heart, not just our mind. It can start in the mind, but it'll make its way to the heart in due time. So hear yourself recite this creed. I think it'll do you more good than you could imagine, all right? Here we go. And repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. If you'd like a copy of that, you could write me at randydeanministries@gmail. That's all one word, randydeanministries@gmail.com. All one word, all lowercase, randydeanministries@gmail. I'd be happy to send you a copy of that. not for any purposes of building a mailing list for myself, but for purposes of serving you. I'm alive to love. And so if my being alive to love can serve you with passing along a written copy of this Love's Creed, it would be my pleasure. And I won't bait and switch you. I won't do something else with that mailing list at all. So today, I am full of a subject that matters to me so much, and that is the subject of forgiveness. We have, I think, and forgiveness, I think, is so vital a component to the behavior and into the energy of love that I think we need to talk about it in the context of love as a vital concept that energizes our love, that keeps our love strong, it keeps our love vital, it keeps our love moving forward. So today, in my conversation with you about forgiveness, I want you to remember this is really all about love, because unforgiveness is one of the greatest enemies of love. But now let's clear the air right away. Let's deal with the elephant in the room. People say all too often, well, you just got to forgive and forget. You got to forgive them and then forget what they did. And I'm here right now, and I want you to listen to me very carefully when I tell you there is no such thing as forgive and forget. Did you hear me clearly? I believe there is no such thing as forgive and forget. I do believe some people have a capacity, and I honor and respect that. I'm not saying that some people haven't been able to find a way to forget. But when we put forgive and forget in the same voice, we are assuming that forgiveness will give you the power to forget. And I don't think there's any such animal as forgive and forget. I do believe there are exceptions to that with some folks who just manage to do it. I admire them. I can't. Here's the problem with forgive and forget. And I'm saying that as one phrase, forgive and forget. Here's the problem. We have a brain. And our brain is a pretty marvelous little contraption up there in your skull. It's hanging out up there between your ears. And that brain has this amazing capacity for memory. It has an amazing capacity, unless otherwise dulled by injury or by disease. The brain just knows how to retain memories, and especially trauma, especially things that were traumatic and painful. The brain puts a note up in there to protect us. Listen to me carefully. The brain has a natural protective agency about it. The brain knows, wow, that event hurt. Let's avoid that kind of event. So when you see a hot stove, and the brain remembers when you were a child and you touched a hot stove, your brain says, note to self, in the future, we will not touch a hot stove unless by accident. And then we'll put some notes to self about how to avoid those accidents. Here's my point. The brain is an active agency for memory. So when we're traumatized or we're hurt, our words, our physical actions cause us pain, your brain does what it's supposed to do to give you the memory so that you can protect yourself and prevent further injury in similar circumstances. The brain's an amazing thing that way. If I trip up a curb, well, the next time I approach a curb, my brain has an automatic. Remember last time? We looked foolish. We tripped on this curb and we fell. Some years ago, I was out for a run and I stepped on a pine cone and I fell face first into the pavement, broke a few bones in my face and embarrassed myself horribly. When I came away from that, and as I'm a runner, and that happened while I was out for a run, and I have a note to self. Eyes up, boy. Watch where you're putting your foot going forward to run. The brain is a miracle. And in that miracle, there's memory. And in the memory, your brain is looking for survival. Your brain is looking to protect your body and to project outward, forward, and toward similar circumstances that have caused trauma or hurt. So when people say you just have to, quote, forgive and forget, I disagree. And I know how easy it is for us to just roll those three words out, forgive and forget, forgive and forget. But it's not so easy. And in fact, I say it's near impossible to forgive and forget. Here's what I believe. Forgiveness isn't a magic potion. It doesn't just remove what wrongs have been done to us. When I forgive, it's not a Windex bottle of window cleaner that just washes out the memory. Forgiveness isn't a magic potion. Abracadabra, oh, I forgave, now I don't remember how that hurt. No, forgiveness doesn't do that. It doesn't remove the memory of the wrongs done to us. But we simply forgive in order to reorder our thoughts toward living a loving life and a forward momentum. Let me say that again. This is kind of like a statement of purpose. We simply forgive in order to reorder our thoughts toward living a loving life and a forward momentum. See, forgiveness isn't an occasional act. Martin Luther King Jr. said one time, it is a permanent lifestyle. It's not just this happened, it's wrong, it's bad, okay, I guess I should, well, let's see, okay, I'll forgive that. Forgiveness, when it's practiced well, and it leads us toward a loving life, forgiveness is a constant behavioral choice that lives with us, in us, so that it's not something we have to call up later, but it's a permanent lifestyle. It's a constant decision to remove the offender from our need for two things, our need for vengeance. See, when we want a pound of flesh, when we need people to pay for what they've done to us, we're still working on forgiveness. So you may have to just work toward this lifestyle of forgiveness with a little more intentionality, a little more purposed motion forward. In fact, I would recommend you get a good friend to talk to you, or a good friend you can talk to when you're working on unforgiveness, or perhaps see a professional. I like to call it, get a checkup from the neck up. Do what you have to do to discover what it looks like to live a forgiving lifestyle. But listen to me carefully. Forgiving is a constant lifestyle, a constant decision to remove the offender from our need for vengeance or reconciliation. I want you to hear that. If I'm forgiving, then I'm finding myself less and less demanding vengeance, demanding a pound of flesh. And I'll find myself less and less in need. Now hear that carefully, in need for reconciliation. See, I think there's this subtle pressure from certain circles of life that say, well, if you forgive, then you should be reconciled. Not so much. You might. It could happen. But I don't think the need for reconciliation helps us to be forgiving. That need can be a codependency, actually. It becomes this nagging voice in your head that says, I'm going to have to be reconciled to this person who badly injured me, who badly, they discriminated against me in a way that caused me so much negativity. They badmouthed me. Maybe they physically injured you. But the point is, if my forgiveness demands reconciliation, well, now my forgiveness is being hijacked, really. It's been hijacked by this nagging voice in my head that says, well, all right, I've got to put this offender back in my life. And I'm here to tell you that isn't necessarily so. Let me say it again. Forgiving is a constant decision to remove the offender from our need. The big word here is need, a need for vengeance or reconciliation. I don't need a pound of flesh, and I don't need that offender back in my life. Here's the point. If either of those things happen, that's fine. So when somebody's wronged me, when they've broken the law and it's caused me direct harm, and the law enforcement authorities have to do what law enforcement authorities do, they arrest the offender. Perhaps they convict them and that offender goes to jail. Well, there's some revenge if you want to look at it that way. but it doesn't have to be your need. You don't look at that like, yeah, you got yours, dude. That you had that coming. I saw that coming. No, 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 no. That's not what we're looking for in forgiveness. So if either of these things happen, whether it's vengeance or reconciliation, that's fine. But if neither vengeance or reconciliation happens, then forgiveness will lead us to know that's okay too. Forgiveness, in my view, forgiveness is a boundary in our forward progress to be lovers. Forgiveness is a boundary that protects us from losing our forward momentum, from losing our capacity to be alive to love. Did you hear that carefully? Forgiveness is this reminder, a boundary in my life that says I don't need vengeance and I don't need reconciliation. If either vengeance or reconciliation happens, well, okay. But it won't be because I lived my life selling my soul, selling my thoughts, selling my day-to-day opportunities to just live for love. I won't be looking for vengeance or reconciliation because I spent myself unnecessarily there. Forgiveness will pull you away from that trap. And forgiveness will lead you toward, listen to that. This here's that statement of purpose I said earlier. We simply forgive in order to reorder our thoughts toward living a loving life in a forward momentum. There it is. In order to reorder our thoughts toward living a loving life in a forward momentum. Experts tell us that we all have about 60,000 thoughts a day in our brain. Yeah, per day, we're 60,000 thoughts in your brain every day. That's a crowd. That's a traffic jam. That's a stadium full of yelling voices. If you've ever been to a stadium, a sports event stadium, and there's 60,000 attendees there, and you can hear the roar, you know, you can hear people shouting all at once. But if somehow you could separate every voice in that 60,000 member in that stadium, you would hear so many different things. You know, you would hear some cries of anguish if the opposing team did something. But if you listened to others who were cheering for their team, you'd hear great cheers for what the team you're cheering for is going on. But yet in all of that roar of the crowd, you can't discern one thing from another. I'd suggest to you that you see your 60,000 thoughts like a stadium full of voices and recognize that sometimes you have to sort it out and find the voice that you're looking for. Find that voice you're looking for and listen carefully. If it's one out of 60,000, listen to that voice. If that voice in your head, when something wrong happens, if that voice in your head says, let's forgive and forget, then you say to that voice, I am a smarter person than to believe I can just forget what just happened. But if another voice in those 60,000 thoughts says, well, here's an opportunity to forgive in order to reorder our thoughts toward living a loving life in a forward momentum. Oh, yeah, there's the voice I want to hear. Say that again, and maybe you can get a cheerleading squad of that voice saying, huh? Let's forgive in order to reorder our thoughts toward living a loving life in a forward momentum. Get yourself a megaphone and shout it to yourself. I'm simply going to forgive in order to reorder my thoughts toward living a loving life in a forward momentum. May have to give yourself a written note. Note to self, remember, we have to not only remember the painful event, now we have to remember to forgive in order to reorder our thoughts toward living a loving life in a forward momentum. Jesus was asked one time, how many times do I have to forgive? How many times? Boy, somebody's been just being wretched to me, and how many times do I have to forgive that? And Jesus gave an interesting answer, didn't he? Some of you know it. If you don't, here's what his answer was. He said, 70 times 7, a day. Every day, 70 times 7. Do I have to forgive him 7 times a day? Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. I don't think he's saying keep a calculator or, you know, make a note. Okay, now we're up to 317. No, no, no. I think Jesus is saying forgive as often as you remember. As often as you remember, forgive. There it is. To forgive is to forgive in order, to reorder our thoughts toward living a loving life in a forward momentum. Every time the memory comes up, and you may ponder it a little while, well, that's human. That's very human. But at the end of it, have yourself ready. Maybe have Love's Creed, you know, sitting on your kitchen counter, or having your Love's Creed sitting on your bathroom counter, on your bathroom mirror. Perhaps having Love's Creed written on a card that you hang on your visor of your car. Having Love's Creed, maybe you in your own voice, you record it in your phone and you repeat to yourself, say after me, I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. So if we have Love's Creed, for instance, as a guiding light, as a pathway for our journey in this world, well, now we're ordering our life toward living a loving life in a forward momentum. I know I just opened a can of worms. It's a great big giant can, perhaps. Maybe the paint can of worms has been opened. But I hope you can give it some thought and consideration. And the next time you tell yourself, I got to forgive and forget, put yourself in a position to remember. Your brain is better than that. Your brain has a pretty good rememberer. And your brain has been given to you to protect and to project. To project toward dangers and to protect you from those dangers. But when dangers have a person's name on it, then forgiveness is a choice. It's a permanent lifestyle. It's an opportunity to grow larger as a human being, because every one of us, every last one of us, have things to forgive in this life. Well, here on the No BS Bishop, Alive to Love, we wrap this time up with a couple of things. I'm going to add the Lord's Prayer to it too. But we do a couple of things, and first is we learn to breathe, and we breathe well. You know, when you've been injured, one of the important things a doctor, physically injured, a doctor will want you to do is, okay, slow your breath down. I know you're hurting and I know you want to scream, but slow down your breath. Give yourself the opportunity to get better by breathing deeply, all right? On the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can and hold it at the foundation of your lungs for just a second. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it, and exhale. That'll slow your racing thoughts down, slow your racing heart down, and give you a chance to forgive and love. That's the phrase I want you to grab, forgive and love. Next thing I want to lead you in is the Lord's Prayer, and listen to the words carefully. Here it is. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You heard yourself say that, I hope. Forgive. Teach me forgiveness as I am forgiven. So now I'm going to add this last thing that's our basic routine, and that is tell somebody you love them. Look them in the eye. Slow down those three magical, holy, powerful words. I love you. Slow them down. Make them intentionally, not a rapid fire, but a slow meditation. Look somebody in the eye and say, I love you. it changes two people right there, doesn't it? It'll change the person you're giving to on some small level, and it'll change you on some small or perhaps great level, because you've committed yourself to live a life of love, a life that is ordered toward for the forward momentum of love, in order to reorder our thoughts toward living a loving life in a forward momentum. Well, there you have it, folks. I'm so glad you gave me a half an hour of your life. I appreciate that. I respect that. I honor that. I am here to share with you, week in and week out, year in and year out, that this journey of love is not some kind of bumper sticker priority, but it is an emancipation proclamation. It's something that should carry every day on some level to carry us forward. Now go out there and do something beautiful in this ugly world where ugliness is getting done to death. You be the person of beauty. You be that person of love. Share love wherever you go and surprise yourself with how you can say, I love you, with such power beating in your voice through your heart. Happy trails, y'all. I love you.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.